Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Welcome again, my brothers and sisters, and as we come together around God's wonderful Word and study our Lord's Word and allow God the Holy Ghost to have His way in our hearts and our minds, and accumulate the joy that comes from the grace of God, having to do with the Lord changing us and turning us into a wonderful human being like our Lord Jesus Christ and the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to like the person that the Lord is turning you into if you'll let Him do it. If you let Him do it. And you are, because you're here and you're ready to study, and we're going to talk about the fear, and the fear of the Lord some more. Excuse me. This will be our 11th class on this study. And on our last class, we talked about some, what did we talk about? We just went into the third category of the study. We talked about fear, remember, specifically. And we talked about fear of the Lord, specifically. And then we went into this category of fearlessness, not fearing. Not fearing, and what the scriptures have to say about not fearing. And do they talk about not fearing, and why isn't that a contradiction? We went through fear, that we should fear, and there are such things as fear, and good fear, and bad fear, and all the things that we talked about in. And then we went talked about fear of the Lord, which is, from what we've studied in the scriptures, is more than necessary. I mean, necessary is not even a good word for it. It is mandatory if you're going to walk with the Lord properly and you're going to be sincere and genuine when it comes to your relationship with the Lord. And we talked about that, and that these things are and should be. Well, what are we talking about when we're talking about fearlessness, not fearing? I mean, should we fear or should we not fear? Both are true. Both are true. So we're in fearlessness, and the Bible, not only in fear and fear of the Lord and just that topic and truth itself, but many, many other topics in the scriptures talks about polarities about a truth, left and right, up and down, in and out, and will sometimes find the polarities, both of them, not just one of them being right and one of them being wrong, but both of them being truths. Is it true that man should fear the Lord? Yes. Is it true that there is such thing as fear? Yes. Does the Bible teach that? Yes. Well, is it true that there's such thing as not fearing in the Bible? Yes. You see, you getting this thing? That's the way it goes. And there's a lot of truth in the scripture. That's why the Lord, brothers and sisters, that's why the Lord tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing it. You divide it up, and you read this over here, you read this over here, you read this over here, and it all comes together, and it blends together in a beautiful truth that God reveals to you, and you learn about God's Word. God didn't just let some rebellious intellectual get in His Word and usurp authority over God's Word. Nobody usurps authority over God's Word. Nobody gets in God's Word and says, this is what God means. God, the Holy Ghost, says what God means and makes the sense of it in His Word. And He reveals it to who He will. Just because you get in God's Word and you read it and you get some of this and some of that and some of this and some of that, so you can go get in the pulpit or behind the teaching stand, and or you can, excuse me, you can stand up and be somebody and say something about God, does not mean that you know anything and that you're being inspired and that you're being led by God the Holy Ghost and that you're speaking truth. Sometimes you can speak the truth and it'd be just as this is, I mean, meaningless. Unless the Lord build the house, the people labor in vain. You get that? So, fearlessness, yes, it's in the Scriptures. And we started talking about that on our last study, and we went into the topic concerning that, some origins of fearlessness, not fearing. Some origins. Well, what do you mean? Well, we went over from believing God and His Word. How does one get to where they have fearlessness, that they're not fearing? They believe God's Word. They believe God, and they believe God's Word. Remember that? And the Scriptures showed us that. It's very important that you believe the Lord. Those that come unto Him must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You don't care what anybody else thinks. Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Talking to Simon Peter. And then he said, follow thou me. Who cares what anybody else thinks? I'm going to believe God and believe that he is a rewarder of me when I diligently seek him, because he said so. And when you get to know the Lord and you get serious and sincere and start developing sincerity and genuineness in your heart and in your being toward the Lord and with the Lord starts showing you some things. And some of you know what I'm talking about, and you know I'm speaking the truth. Another thing was a challenge of duty. Remember that? When you've done all that you can do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It's the least that I can do for the Lord, is to do His will and to yield this vessel that I live in to Him and to His purpose while I'm waiting on Him to change this vile thing and turn it and fashion it like unto my the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body, and give and make it like unto His glorious body, so I can live for eternity in it. Got nothing to look nothing but to look forward to with the Lord when you're sincere with Him and you mean business with the Lord. We got a wonderful God, folks. We got a wonderful God. We talked about challenge of duty, and then we talked about from a regard for God's holiness. That's an endless truth right there, God's holiness. It takes a lifetime of learning, and not that it takes a lifetime to figure it out. When you start studying it and start realizing it and start believing about God's holiness, you get it right away, but it becomes more real and more authentic and more potent, your regard for God's holiness, as you grow in the Lord. You realize, wait just a minute, I can't just say any old thing to my God. I can't just behave just any old way in front of my God. You get that? Yeah. Regard for God's holiness. Regard for God's holiness. What is that all about? Well, it's some origins of fearlessness, not fearing. And then today we're going to go into a new category concerning not fearing. And we're going to see some examples of fearlessness. I don't know why I'm so tongue-twisted with that word fearlessness. Just forgive me for that, but you know what I mean. Some examples of fearlessness, not fearing, in the Scriptures. Well, the first one, he popped up a few times before in some other categories, was Abraham. Abraham's an example of not fearing in the Scriptures. When we want to read and see where a patriarch or somebody in the scriptures and read about a truth and find out and get a illustration that teaches us about not fearing in the scriptures. Abraham is one. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14 through 16, the Bible says, "And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive," talking about Lot, remember that? They had come and got him and took him captive and carried him and everybody else away. "He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people." Abraham showed an example of not fearing. He said, "Well, you know, I mean, Lot's a big boy. He can do it. He can take care of himself." No, that wasn't Abraham's attitude. Abraham said, "That's my brother. That's my brother." And he got my brother, and they got his wives, they got the people, and this is wrong. And he was fearless. He showed fearlessness. He didn't fear. He took off and done what was needing to be done, and did it, executed it, and brought them all back. Brought them all back. He brought back all the goods. Not even just the people, but the things that the people stole from them and took that didn't belong to them. And also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. And there's another verse in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, a little farther down. It says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." Now, that's when Abraham was coming back and had Lot and had all the things that he had recovered and the people recovered and was coming back, and he met Melchizedek, the high priest, and he met him, and he gave him tithes of all. But this is what the man said, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." You see, God was behind that. Abraham being fearless. Abraham said, "This is what needs to be done. This is the right thing to do. Let's do it." And was fearless. He didn't think, "Well, they came and got Lot and got all the people and took everybody. I mean, and behave like those 10 that came back, those 10 spies that came back that discouraged Israel and cost them 40 years in the wilderness." He was fearless. He had no fear. And the Bible says that God did not reprimand him for that. As a matter of fact, he got blessed for it. "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him all tithes of all. Amen? So Abraham, who else? What are we talking about? We're talking about some examples of fearlessness, not fearing in the scriptures. Jonathan. Jonathan was an example of not fearing. You say, "Well, who's Jonathan?" Saul's son. Remember him? He was a pretty sharp fella, and a man, an upright man, and one that walked right, and the scriptures speak well of him. He helped David out, and his daddy wanted to kill David many times and chased him down, and Jonathan took up for David and told the truth and said what was right. He declared things as they were, not the way Saul wanted them. Saul was just, man, he was jealous. The Bible says anger is, anger is outrageous, or anger is outrageous and wrath is cruel, but who can stand before envy? Something like that. I think I got it right. I might have got it out of order, but that's what the scripture, who can stand before envy? Saul envied David because one day he was walking along and he heard some people singing, and they were singing praises to God because Saul has killed his thousands, but David hath killed his 10,000s. And that insulted Saul. And Saul took that personal instead of praising the Lord and saying, you're right, David's on our side and David killed 10,000. Praise the Lord for somebody that's doing 10 times better than me. Praise the Lord instead of praising the Lord. He took offense to that. And he envied David and it drove him to want to kill him and make some bad decisions. But Jonathan, his son, was not that way. It's not that way. Jonathan honored his daddy, but he also honored what was right. And he took care of David, too. In 1 Samuel, we're talking about fearlessness and not fearing. Jonathan didn't fear. There's a lot of times his daddy even threw a javelin at him and tried to kill him for speaking up for David. And he stood in front of his daddy and told him, you know, this thing ain't right. David ain't done nothing to you. And Saul had enough, and he picked a spear up and threw it at him, tried to kill him. That's when he went and told David, he said, you better go to the woods, man. Daddy's after you. He got bad intentions for you. And he made a covenant with David, a lifetime covenant with David. And that thing went on into David's reign, talking about Jonathan's children after Jonathan was killed. Some of his children, David honored Jonathan through that covenant that they made because Jonathan was fearless. And he took care of some of his crippled children. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor. This is when Jonathan and David was hiding out because he knew Saul was after him. And Jonathan went in to find out for sure whether his daddy intended to kill David. And when he found it out, he went back outside and he told David, I'm going to show you a sign. He said, I'm going to come out and I'm going to shoot an arrow. And if I shoot the arrow over the fella, he took a little guy with him to go get his arrows when he shot them, and everybody thought he was going out to practice shooting his arrows. But he shot that arrow, and he said, if I shoot that arrow over the guy and tell the guy to go away, go get it, it's past you, it's over you, then you better hit the woods because daddy's after you. He said, but if I shoot it in front of him and tell him, let him come to me to get the arrow, then it's okay for you to come in out of the woods. Well, this is where this is picking up. Now, it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines. Now, this is a different situation. I told you that, but this is different. Come, let us go over to the Philistines. Yeah, this is when Saul made some rules about this warring with these people and stuff like that. And Jonathan, I guess he got a boast of fearlessness in his heart and he wanted to fight. He was a warrior. I mean, he was a soldier and he didn't mind fighting. He wasn't scared, but this is that. I told you wrong, but that was a good point before the covenant that he made with David. He was fearless in doing that. That's true. Okay, but this right here. Now, it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor-bearer said unto him, Do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee, according to thy heart. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. Because Jonathan didn't fear, and he said, You know, the Lord can send a big army, or he can send just a few. It don't matter. If it's the Lord's battle, the Lord can take care of the problem. And that's where he stood in that. And he said, I ain't going to go tell Daddy. Let's just me and you go over there and take care of this problem. And they did. And the Lord blessed it. And it saved Israel that day. So the Lord saved Israel that day. And the battle passed over unto Bethaven, you see. So we see that Jonathan, Saul's son, wasn't a scaredy cat. He was fearless. He had no fear. There was a time that he did not fear. Now, when Saul threw that spear at him, he jumped out of the way. It'd been kind of foolish to stand there and think a spear wasn't fixing to go through you if it targets you. Not talking about that kind of fear. There's common sense when it comes to fear. He was fear to jump out of the way of a javelin, yeah. But when it comes to fighting and doing the right thing and doing it in the name of the Lord, he was fearless. He didn't fear. He didn't fear. He said, the Lord can do it with me and you or with Daddy's army. Let's go do it. And they did. And they did. What else? Well, David. We was talking about David just a minute ago. David, for example, is an example of not fearing, fearlessness. He's an example of it in the Scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 17 shows us that. It says, And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept back his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. That's talking about David taking care of his father Jesse's sheep whenever he was still at home. And he's talking to Saul, and they're on a battlefront. And Saul's sitting there, the king, and all of Israel, the warriors of Israel, the soldiers of Israel standing there. And then the Philistines with Goliath are standing over on the other side. And Goliath's coming out and mocking them, making them look like a bunch of sissies. And David had enough of it. And he went to talk to Saul and said, Let me go fight him. And Saul said, Man, go back to your sheep. And David picks up here and he says, David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept back his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Talking about a bear and a lion. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And you're talking about that's something right there now. Think about that. A bear and a lion come and got a sheep. I don't know if they got one each or if they got one, but they started carrying it off, and David went after them. And when he got there, I guess that bear and that lion turned on him or something like that, but instead of running to save that sheep, he grabbed him by the beard and killed him. And Saul's telling David, you're just a little boy, and his brothers even talked to him like that. You're just a little sheep herder. Go home. You're not a warrior. You don't know anything about war. He said, Man, I killed a bear and I killed a lion. And he said, This uncircumcised Philistine shall not be as one. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, the bear or the lion. He said, I'm going to take him out. Seeing he had defiled the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. He said, If you can fight a bear and you can fight a lion, you can fight Goliath. And he did. And he done it without armor. Saul tried to give him some armor, so if Goliath tried to cut him with a sword, it'd keep him from getting cut and all that kind of business. But it was uncomfortable to David, and he said, man, I can't fight in this stuff. He said, just give me some rocks. So he got 5 stones, and he got a sling. And you're talking about somebody can sling a rock, brother. And he went out there, and it said whenever Goliath started coming out there and mocking him, David started going toward him. And it said when Goliath and him started talking back and forth, and Goliath told him, come on over here and I'll feed your stinking flesh. He said, I'll cut your flesh up and feed it. I think he said feed it to the animal or feed it to somebody. But David said, instead of running, you know what David did? He started running toward him. I mean, running to fight him. And I guess while he was running, he loaded up one of them rocks and hit Goliath right between the eyes with that rock. And it said it sunk into his head and he fell over dead. And David went and got a sword, stood on top of him and cut his head off right there. The bear killer, the lion killer, the fearless one. He feared not. He didn't fear. That's the same God that is your God. Your God is the same one that saved David, that gave David the strength and the courage to do that for him and for Israel. He's the same God that saved David from the bear. What bear do you know that a man can whip? A man can't whip a bear, not without God's help. A man can't whip a lion without God's help. It can't be done. If it has been done, he walks away maimed for life, and it's an exception to the rule. They say a bear can bite a man's head. They say a bear can break a bowling ball with his jaws. If he bit down on a bowling ball, he can break that. You think he can't break a man's skull? Just biting? And David went after them to get the sheep back. And that was a good shepherd. He's a good example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good shepherd. The one that died for us. Fearless. Fear not. The Bible talks about not fearing. Not fearing, and shows us examples of it. David's one of them. What else? Well, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, remember him? He went to build the wall of Israel and to head that up when they're going to put the wall back up around Israel after, I think Nebuchadnezzar's the one that knocked that one down. I'm not sure. Came and destroyed that city and he was heading up going, putting the wall back up. He's an example of not fearing because he had a lot of enemies trying to keep that from happening. I mean, a whole bunch of hellions that tried to resist that project. He went to build the wall back up. And, I mean, there was people going through the politics, going through governors writing letters and all kind of legality stuff against him and just hindering the work. And all through that process, Nehemiah mentions many, many times in there that they're doing this to scare me. They're doing this to put fear in me. But he was fearless. As a matter of fact, he told a couple of them, he said, if you do it again, I'm going to put hands on you. and he did on one or two of them, pulled his stinking beard out. Nehemiah wasn't nobody to play with. I mean, he was fearless. And he's just a man just like the rest of us. He's a human being just like the rest of us. But he had the same God David had, the same God that Jonathan had, the same God that Abraham had, and the same God me and you got. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, let me read that to you. Listen to this. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, he was a big troublemaker and headed up a lot of the trouble that tried to hinder Nehemiah and everybody that was trying to get that wall back up. But it came to pass, and when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, it's Nehemiah talking, and turn our reproach upon their own head, turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. Nehemiah praying against the enemy. For they have, he wouldn't be able to live too good in society we got today, this lovey-dovey, God is love, don't hurt anybody's feelings society, huh? He wouldn't have been very welcome today. And cover, especially in his prayer, his hate prayer he's praying here, but it wasn't a hate prayer. It was a, God, you see what he's doing, and he's messing up your purpose, and you know why, the hearts of all of us. He said, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. In other words, charge them for their sins and send them to hell. Put them in the pit, Lord. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Nehemiah said, by them messing with us and hindering us and aggravating us and giving us so much trouble, he said, they have provoked thee to anger before the builders, the people doing the work for you, Lord. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. It said in another place that they had a tool in one hand, a weapon in the other. That wouldn't go very, very, very well over all these gun control people, would it? Too bad. Fearless. Fearful. Or fearfulness. Fearfulness. Not fearing. Not fearing. That was Nehemiah. Nehemiah didn't fear. I mean, they tried to put him in fear. And if you read Nehemiah and you find out all the whole process of the thing, man, from beginning to end, they didn't do nothing but give him trouble and try to scare him. They tried to scare him, trying to be a buddy to him and say, come on, let's just do this together. Nehemiah told him, you got no business in the Lord's work. Get lost. We'll do this ourselves. And they tried to scare him. Then they tried to scare him, saying that he wasn't doing things right. And then they wrote letters to the government, had the king come and shut everything down for a while, and just all kind of sort of business. But he was fearless. He did not fear. Perhaps the Lord is going to ask something of you that's going to be scary. And if you're going to do anything for the Lord, somebody, somewhere, the enemy's going to try to get in there and use. Remember we've been talking about this fear thing and how the world uses fear, the fear factor. Remember? And how they use fear to try to tell you your insurance is going to be late and it's going to expire and blah, 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 and you better get 20 instead of just one. Because it might run out and fear this and fear that and fear this and fear that and food's running out and there's a shortage and the great white spotted pussycat's dying off and they're becoming extinct and this. I fear, man. Fear. Fear not. And you'll find out as we go through this lesson that the Lord teaches us some of these things right here that we're learning right now about these fellas, about these people. Well, here's another one, an example of fearlessness, not fearing. Well, the Hebrew men is an example of not fearing. You say, who are you talking about? Well, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The three Hebrew fellas that wouldn't bow down and worship an idol? And they were in the king's favor as persons, But whenever the troublemakers got in the king's ear and said that they're rebelling against you and against your God and against this and that and the other, then they put the king in a different kind of mindset. And it was going to cost them their lives if they didn't do it. They didn't. And they didn't die either. God took care of them. But listen to the way they put it. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Heard that one before, hadn't we? "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king." Now here's your fearlessness. Listen to this. I mean, these guys said, it's either bow down to this stinking statue and listen to the music while you're doing it, and everything will be fine and flowery and warm fuzzy and everything else, or get ready to burn. He says he's going to put us in a furnace and burn us to death. Here's how they answered. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, we don't even think we need to answer you in this. We're not careful. We're not full of care about answering this question, this thing you've put to us. "We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up." Now, wait just a minute. That's not like society today. Because there's some of our brothers and sisters that are going through the same thing, just in a different scenario. You either do this, and do this, and do this, and everything will be fine. And you don't have to spit in your God's face. Just bow down when you hear the music and. But they said, no. No. We're not doing that. "But if God won't deliver us, then we will burn, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Fearlessness. They feared not. Now, you don't think deep down inside in their flesh that they wasn't thinking, man, that's going to hurt. Getting scalded is one thing. Getting your finger burnt is one thing. But getting thrown into a fiery furnace to where you melt and you have to feel it while you're doing it? You don't think that moved them to think? But they were fearless. They feared not, listen to this, they feared not on purpose. It wasn't because they didn't think about it and the consequences. They feared not and was fearless on purpose. There are times in the scriptures, and there are times in lessons and truths that we learn from the Word of God to where the Lord says, be strong and of a good courage, and I'll strengthen your heart. And you're going to be put in a predicament to where you're going to have to make a choice to whether, you know, if I didn't have my God, I'd be scared to death. But I'm going the way the Lord says, and I'm going to do what's right. And if it costs me my life, or if it costs me suffering, or if it costs me this, or it costs me that, so be it. That's fearlessness. That's not fearing on purpose. It's not that you're not concerned. It's that you're not going to fear. You see that thing? All right? That's the Hebrew men that were with Daniel. And they were serving with him. But these cats come along, these God-hating fools came along and set them up and almost got them killed. But Jesus showed up. King said, I thought we threw three people in that furnace. I see four. One of them looks like the Son of God, because it was. How about that? So when they took them out of that oven, they didn't even smell scorch. They didn't even smell burnt. And so that king fell on his face and changed the rules. I imagine they took that little statue of him down because he knew there's somebody that can beat my fire furnace, my fiery furnace. And he changed the rules. He said, everybody's going to serve this God, the one that's in the furnace. So you see, the scenario or the situation might arise in your life. And I'm saying this hoping that one don't arise in my life, but there have been situations in my life to where you just have to choose God. And it's not that you have to, it's because you want to, but, I mean, the world's the one that makes you have to. I choose the Lord, period. But the world makes you and puts you in a predicament to where they try to make a fool out of you and try to make a fool out of your God and try to belittle your faith and make your faith worthless and meaningless and meaningless in the sight of the world. You know, like, sure, look at that faith. There might be some situations like that that come into your life that you're going to have to be fearless and fear not on purpose. What about Peter and John? There are some examples. There's some good examples. I mean, they got called fools and stupid people when they were standing before the council. Watch out for the council. And the board of directors and all that sort of jazz. But in Acts chapter 4, let me read that to you. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 through 23, it says, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined, that's what the people like to do to you about your faith, is examine you. Like they know something about your faith or something like that, and they're the authorities, and they're going to examine you. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them. Who are these fools? That they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What an honor that somebody would see your behavior and look at you and see your fearlessness. And you disregarding their threats and their this and that and the other, whatever they're throwing at you, and they say, man, this person's been with Jesus. Only people around Jesus behave like this. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them in manifest and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But if they could have denied it, they would do it. And that's the kind of people you're dealing with. But that it spread no further. In other words, take away our bread and butter, and we as the authorities, spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them. Make them scared of us. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. You see, the problem is the name, Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. You see, it's not an uncommon scenario that Christians go through now. That's the early church. That's Peter and John. But they spoke up, and they were fearless, and they didn't fear. And they told the truth about and declared things as they are. Not as the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the council and the board of directors and everybody else wants it to be. And try to scare you. Notice when we was reading that, they said they threatened them. If you do this, blah, blah, blah. And Peter let it pass in one ear and out the other and just said, whether in the sight of God to hearken to you or more than to hearken more to you than to God, you judge. To listen to God or listen to you. And they threatened them again and kicked them out. But fearlessness, examples of fearlessness, Peter and John. Here's one more. Oh, wait a minute. Let me read this still. Well, I've already read it to you. Here's one more. Paul. Paul's an example of not fearing. Now, Paul, he was a bold critter. He was a bold person when it come to him being a Pharisee. And when he was on the wrong side, if you will. He was walking around killing Christians and persecuting Christians and putting them to death and being witness to, like he was Stephen's, and witnessed Stephen's death. Yeah, kill him. Just because they were affiliated with Jesus and with the faith and the way. But when he got saved, he showed a different kind of fear for different reasons, a different kind of fearlessness, not fearing for different reasons. I mean, because when he switched over and he got saved and he switched over to the other side, our side, everybody that was on the other side come after him. Said, oh, no, you're not embarrassing us like that, buddy. You're not going to be a Pharisee and then turn over to this Jesus guy and everybody. I mean, the Pharisees and everybody was probably making money off of Paul when Paul was walking around. I mean, he went to the Pharisees and Sadducees, got letters so of permission from them and authority that he could go, and that's where he was going when he met the Lord. Was going on the authority of all the other side to go kill Christians and gather them up and do whatever he wanted to do with them. But when he got saved, I mean, those Pharisees and Sadducees was probably walking around with all the glory of Paul all around them. Yeah, man, all them Christian people, they're scared to death of Paul. I'm glad he's on our side. He sure does give us a good name. And people walking around scared to death of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the board and the directors and all them because they sick Paul on them. But when Paul got saved, they lost all that. And it shamed them. And people were probably laughing at him a little bit. And they was mad at Paul, and they was after him. They followed him from town to town. But he was fearless. He had a different kind of fearlessness and didn't fear. Acts chapter 21, listen to this. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, we both and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Now, there are some say that Paul should have listened right here, that he was being told by the Lord, I mean, because this prophet Agabus, he said that it was God the Holy Ghost that was saying this, don't go to Jerusalem. But Paul went anyway. But the Lord had already said that he was going to bring him before Caesar, so he wasn't going to die at Jerusalem. He was going to die before Caesar. And it said that the Holy Ghost shall... The Jews at Jerusalem bind this man that owneth this girdle, and they did, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles, and they did. Excuse me. And he ended up appealing to Caesar, and ended up, just like the Lord said, he was going to go before kings and rulers and testify for the Lord, but he was going to go before Caesar before he died. So he was going to go to Rome irregardless, but he might should have avoided this particular thing in some people's opinion, but nevertheless, it don't matter. He was fearless. He said, I'm ready to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And he would not be persuaded. We ceased, saying the will of the Lord be done. He was fearless. He didn't fear. He knew people was after him, and he knew when he went to Jerusalem that these are the same guys that he used to be on their side. And they're going to try to get him. And they're going to get him if they can. He said, I don't care. I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus. But Agabus said that they're going to take him and deliver him to the Gentiles, see. So he wasn't going to die, but he was going to die somewhere else. The Gentiles were going to kill him. And they did. So, anyway, fearlessness. You see that thing in the scriptures? All our brothers and sisters and examples of patriarchs and Jonathan and David and Nehemiah and all through the scriptures and what the Bible teaches us and the truths that the Lord gives us in so many different areas about so many different things, but yet we see fearless people. Fearless people that are associated with the same one that we're associated with. Our Lord and our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and true living God, our God, the God of the Bible. Some examples of fearlessness, not fearing, in our study of fear and fear of the Lord. Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. So there's just some examples. So does the Bible teach about fearlessness? Does it show us some illustrations about it? Absolutely it does. Absolutely. There is such thing as not fearing, and we've seen many different scenarios today of that very thing. There's a time that it's a time to not fear and be fearless on purpose. On purpose. And we've seen completely, we've seen about five or six, or I don't even know how many it was, five or six different examples, and every one of them were completely different. But yet, not fearing in the name of the Lord was in every one of them, and for the reason of the Lord in every one of them. I know the Lord. I'm not going to fear. Abraham, I know the Lord, and I'm not going to fear. I know I'm not going to fear. Jonathan, David, I know the Lord. I'm not going to fear. Nehemiah, I know the Lord. I'm not going to fear. The Hebrew men, I know the Lord. I'm not going to fear. Peter and John, I know the Lord. I'm not going to fear. Paul, I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to fear. Not fearing is a decision. It's not something that's, it's a decision. And it's a decision that every Christian has to make in his walk as we walk with the Lord and the Holy Ghost teaches us and teaches us the things of God, teaches us about fear and fear of the Lord and fearlessness. We have to learn there's a time to be scared and there's a time not to be scared. And it takes God's wisdom and his wisdom in every situation, scenario in our walk to help us out and to know what to be scared of and what not to be scared of. Amen? All right, well, we're going to stop right there, and I'm going to give you these scriptures, and we're going to stop for the day and close this class out, and we will begin again on our next study. Here you go. Here's the scriptures. Genesis chapter 14, verse 14 through 16. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1, verses 6 through 7, and verse 23, all in chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 through 37. Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, you can read the whole chapter if you want, but I'm just break them down for our lesson's sake so we can get to the point and get to the truth. Nehemiah, chapter 4, verse 1, verse 4 through 5, verse 9, verse 14, and verse 21, all in Nehemiah, chapter 4. Here's another one. Daniel, chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 through 23. And the last one for today was Acts chapter 21, verse 10 through 14. All right. Well, there we go. That's the end of our study and our class for today. Class is dismissed. And praise the Lord. I love you with Christ's love. And thank you so much for coming and studying God's Word and honoring our Lord. Honoring our Lord. The next category we're going into with this fear and fear of the Lord study, the letter F in the ABCs of Christian growth is going to be fear and God's Word. Fear and God's Word. God bless you. I love you with Christ's love. It's Brother Thurman, and I'll talk to you on the next class if the Lord will. Bye-bye.